always take out of the bulletin, there's a yellow sheet that has some Proverbs on it. That's going to be our scripture text today. So you don't have to like flip around to all the different Proverbs that I'm going to read today. I pulled out the Proverbs that have the word friend in them. Okay? So we're going to talk about friendship. So if you could find that paper, and that's going to be our sermon text. Let me go to the Lord and ask for his help as we look at his word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true, and I pray that you would speak to us right now through your word. I pray that you give us insight into what you've said. I pray that you would give us understanding, we pray. I also pray that you'd help us to believe what you've said and to live in the light of it. And we pray that your spirit would work in us right now and help us to do that. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. How important is friendship to you? There is a group called the Survey Center on American Life. And what they do is conduct surveys with Americans about their lives. So they did a survey last year, and they've been doing this for several years. But here's what they found when it comes to friendship. A decade ago, a third of Americans reported that they had three or fewer close friends. Okay, that's 10 years ago. And then last year, it was half. Half of Americans said they have three or fewer close friends. And 12% of people now, or last year, said they had no close friends at all. 12% of Americans. And this is true, or this is what Americans report about themselves, in spite of the evidence that is available to people that friendships help people be healthier, help them be happier, help them be more productive, help them get through hard times easier when they have friends. So there's this evidence, but still the number of friends that we have, it's going downhill instead of going uphill, okay? More and more, and the reason that some of the sociologists say that this is happening, part of the reason, it's not can't be the only reason, but part of the reason is that people are so busy these days with work and family that the only people that they have friends with are people they work with. That's what the sociologists say. Are most of their friends are people that they work with rather than, you know, being friends with their neighbors or friends with people from church or some other, you know, group where you have a common interest or a friend that you meet at a restaurant or something like that. It's just you have time for your work friends and that's about it. Okay. There's another study that came out in January, and this was conducted by a large insurance company, but they surveyed a whole bunch of people, and it said that 3 out of 5 adults report that they sometimes or always feel lonely. 3 out of 5 adults. I thought that was kind of low. Don't most of us feel lonely some of the time, at least? Okay. Now, of course, we have opportunities these days and to connect with people online. But when you read about friendship and the trends with regard to friendship, this is a factor that people have a chance to connect online, and that can be really helpful for people up to a point, okay? But what a lot of studies have shown that is that when you get past like half an hour a day of using social media, your feelings of loneliness and depression actually go up. So like it's helpful to a point, but then you go past that point and you feel more lonely. Isn't that interesting? And now, of course, it's not the same for everybody. Different people use social media in different ways and have report different kinds of things, but that's sort of like the general trend. And there are studies that show that heavy social media users feel more lonely than light social media users. That if you say, oh, I use it lightly, you feel less lonely than if you use it heavily. Very interesting, right? And I just dare you to Google social media and loneliness sometime and read some of these studies. It's It's pretty eye-opening, okay? Friendship is really important, not just for our health or for our feelings, but also because of how friendships shape who we are as people. And what I want to show you today is part of it, friendship can be a spiritual issue. It can be a spiritual issue, an area of our spiritual life that we can grow in. And I think most of us realize that we can grow in the area of friendship. Isn't that true? Don't you think most of us can say, look at our lives and say, you know, I could have closer friends and I could be a better friend. I could have richer friendships than what I have right now. This is an area of my life that I can grow in. I think most of us can say that. Today we're going to talk about what the Bible says about friendship, and we're going to focus in on what the book of Proverbs says about friendship. There are these Proverbs that I printed out. Several of them I pulled out all the ones that said they have the word friend in them, and then there's the Hebrew word that's translated friend is sometimes translated neighbor, and so some of these verses say, instead of saying the word friend, it says the word neighbor in them. I pulled these out. It's interesting, right? The Bible talks about friendship, and we can't say everything that the whole Bible says about friendship today, but we'll talk about what the book of Proverbs says about it. So let's read these. Before we begin, I'm going to read through all of them, and then we'll go back and we'll kind of look at them one at a time. So if you could pull out the sheet, Proverbs about friendship. Oil and incense bring joy to the heart, and the sweetness of a friend is better than self-counsel. Don't abandon your friend or your father's friend, and don't go to your brother's house in your time of calamity. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a difficult time. Some of you remember the old King James, a brother is born for adversity, right? The wounds of a friend are trustworthy, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive. Don't make friends with an angry person, and don't be a companion of a hot-tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. The one who loves a pure heart and gracious lips, the king, is his friend. Wealth attracts many friends, but a poor person is separated from his friend. Many seek a ruler's favor, and everyone is a friend to one who gives gifts. But the brothers of a poor person hate him. How much more do his friends? Keep their distance from him. He may pursue them with words, but they are not there. One with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. Don't envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the devious are detestable to the Lord, but he is a friend to the upright. And you can turn the page over. Some of these are repeated on the back page, so if you've heard them before, that's on purpose, okay? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a difficult time. One with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. One without sense enters an agreement and puts up security for his friend. Oil and incense bring joy to the heart, and the sweetness of a friend is better than self-counsel. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. The wounds of a friend are trustworthy, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Otherwise, he'll get sick of you and hate you. If one blesses his neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to him. Like a madman who throws flaming darts and deadly arrows, so is the person who deceives his neighbor and says, "I was only joking." A contrary person spreads conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but whoever gossips about it separates friends. The one who loves a pure heart and gracious lips, the king, is his friend. This is God's word. So let's go back to the beginning. And the first thing I want to talk about is the importance of friendship, the importance of friendship. So let's, because friendship is important. Look what it says in 27:9. Oil and incense bring joy to the heart, and the sweetness of a friend is better than counsel. So friendship is sweet. It's sweet to have friends. It makes your life sweeter and richer. And when you have the perspective of somebody else, not just your own perspective on life, that's encouraging. It's a lot of times it's encouraging to hear somebody else's perspective on your life and about life in general. It's helpful. Look at 27:10. Don't abandon your friend or your father's friend, and don't go to your brother's house in your time of calamity. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. And the idea with this proverb isn't, it's not like criticizing family, but what it's saying is sometimes your family is far away. And when you're in trouble, it's good to have friends that you can go to help you get through the trouble that you're in. And it's also saying that when trouble comes, that's when you find out who your real friends are. And that's when you find out who your real brothers and sisters are too, right? When the trouble hits. Because there are some people who are with you when things are great. But when trouble comes, that's when you really know who's really with you, okay? Look at 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a difficult time. And that same thing, it's not to disparage family and to say that brothers are only around when times are tough, because some people have brothers that are around, you know, all the time. But what it says is hard times show you who your real friends are, who your real family is, and when you're in a difficult time, it's great to have a friend. It's so good to have a friend. Look at 27:6. The wounds of a friend are trustworthy, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive. So the idea with this one is, a friend can give constructive criticism about you. A friend can look at you and say, you know, there's this thing in your life that needs to change. It'll be better for you if you change this, or if you stop doing that. And you can take that and be benefited by it. It's helpful to you. Like, you need friends in your life to show you how you need to change. And sometimes other people are only flattering you, but that's not helpful at all. They flatter you, and it says that the kisses of an enemy are excessive, but the wounds of a friend are trustworthy. It's better to have the wounds of a friend. Okay, so friendship is important. You can't live without food, can you? You can't live without water. You can't live without air to breathe. Can you live without friends? Yeah, you can live without friends. It's possible to live without friends, but if you have friends, your life is so much richer. It's so much better. God created you for relationships with people. When he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he made them to know him. He made them for each other, to have relationships with each other. And I think sometimes we lose that. And we think life is about other things, like life is about our own success in some way without the relationships. Or the relationships are just there to use people to help me be successful. Okay? But what the scripture is saying is friendships are so important. They make our life, that's what life's all about, is the relationships. They make our life so much richer. As a church, as Calvary Chapel, I think something that we could focus on is creating a lot of online content. There are some churches that do that, and I'm not saying that's wrong, okay? But they focus a lot of their ministry in like creating videos or creating like forums where people can interact together online, okay? And they put a lot of effort into that. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I think the friendships that really are rich to us are the in-person friendships that we have with each other. You know, so you know what I want for you guys even more than I want you guys to listen to good Christian content on the internet or on the radio? I want you to go to Sunday school. That's so much better. Sorry, I'm too close to the mic. Sunday school, like being with people in person and locking arms together, literally, you know, touching each other, seeing each other's faces, hearing each other's voices, and pursuing God together, that's rich. That's a rich life. And that describes Calvary Chapel, doesn't it? I mean, I think that's our forte. That's what we can do, is be together and develop these rich rich friendships, rich relationships. That's why food is so important, right? We can break bread together. I always don't want to throw a food reference into the sermon so you're really hungry right before church ends. Friendship is so important. Okay, so the next thing I want to look at is choosing friends, because you can have the wrong friends. Or what I should say is, if you have the wrong friends, that affects your life in a bad way. But if you have the right friends, that affects your life in a good way. Okay, so let's read some of these. It says, don't make friends with an angry person. 22, 24, and 25. Don't make friends with an angry person, and don't be a companion of a hot-tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. So it says you should avoid friendships with angry people. By the way, I think that's probably good advice for romance, too. But avoid friendships with an angry person. And not just because you're always going to be in fights with this person, although that's true, but also because that person's character could rub off on you, and you could become an angry, hot-tempered person, too. We become like our friends. We become like the people that we hang out with. It's an interesting thing about kids when they grow up. Do you know that the accent that children have, I was talking about the Arkansas way of talking, the accent that children have, it's not like their parents. It's like their peers when they grow up. And we become like our friends. That's who we become like. So we want to be careful with what friends we choose, because we're going to become like those people. So be careful. Look at 22:11. The one who loves a pure heart and gracious lips, the king is his friend. So the king is going to be careful about who he chooses to be a friend, in the ancient world. And he wants to be friends with somebody who has a pure heart and gracious lips. He wants somebody who is sincere. You should choose friends who love you sincerely for who you are and who pursue God sincerely. And who speak with graciousness. That's who we should be friends with. Choose friends carefully. And then look at 19:4-8. Wealth attracts many friends. A poor person is separated from his friend. Many seek a ruler's favor, and everyone is a friend of the one who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor person hate him. How much more do his friends keep their distance from him? He may pursue them with many words, but they are not there. So this is a proverb about money and about how money affects friendship. But the main point of it is you should watch out for fair-weather friends. Friends who are only there for you when times are good. And you should watch out for friends who are there for you for what they can get from you rather than for you. Some friends are your friends for you. Some friends are friends for what they can get from you. So be careful when you choose your friends, to have friends that are sincere, that really are there for you and not just for their benefit that they receive from you. And I'm not saying friendship isn't beneficial. It is. But you know what I mean? Like, some friends just want your stuff, okay, instead of wanting you, okay? Those aren't real friends, so be careful about that. Look at 18:24. One with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. So this is talking about the difference between quality and quantity in friendship. It's possible to have a lot of friends, but those friends not to be really good friends. And it's better to have a few friends that are better friends than to have gazillions of friends who are not close to you at all and who won't stick by you in the troubling times. You see the difference? And I think this is good to hear in the age of the internet, right? Because the internet tells us that we have hundreds and hundreds of friends, dozens and dozens, hundreds and hundreds of friends. But it's better, I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's better to have a few close friends than to only have hundreds of really shallow friendships. Have a friend who stays closer than a brother. Okay, 31-32, don't envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the devious are detestable to the Lord, but he, meaning the Lord is a friend to the upright. Now, what this verse is showing us is that the most important friendship in your life is your friendship with the Lord. And isn't it good that Jesus said to us, I have called you friends? He says, you're not my servants, you're my friends. I'm letting you in on what I'm doing. I'm letting you in on my plan to save the world. And Jesus also says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the friend that stays close to us. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is our friend. That's the most important friendship in our life. And it's better when we're deciding who we're going to be friends with and deciding what kind of person we want to be. If we put our friendship with the Lord in jeopardy, it's not worth it. Jesus is the best friend that we could ever have. He chose us in spite of who we are. And he didn't just tell us what he was going to do. He did it for us. He gave his life for us. He died for us and rose again. That's a real friend. You know, greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is the best possible friend we could ever have. How do you choose your friends? How do you decide who you're going to be friends with? A lot of times we choose friends because we have compatible personalities, right? Oh, we get along real good, so I'm going to be friends with that guy. Or we choose our friends out of convenience. Well, that's the person who's in the next cubicle over at work, you know? So, of course, that's who my friend is going to be. Or we choose friends because of a common interest. Oh, we both like basketball, we're going to be friends. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But when we choose our friends, our close friends, what these Proverbs tell us is the main thing we need to look for is character. We need to choose a friend based on their character. Choose friends wisely. Having the wrong friends is dangerous because they might abandon you at the time that you need them. They might turn on you. They might corrupt your character because you become like them. That's dangerous. C.S. Lewis wrote, you've probably seen this book called The Four Loves, and he wrote an essay about friendship, and one thing that he says about friends, he's comparing friendship to romance, and he says, friends stand shoulder to shoulder, lovers stand face to face. Interesting, right? So lovers are focused on each other, but friends are standing side by side, focused on something else together. And I think that was pretty insightful. And it shows us that when we choose our friends, we choose somebody that is pursuing the same thing that we're pursuing. Our closest friends, we're looking out together. We're not focused on each other. We're looking out together at something else. And what is that thing that we're pursuing together? Well, your closest friends, you need to have something in common with them that's the most important thing to you. And that's Jesus. So you are locking arms with somebody, standing side by side, and pursuing Jesus together. What does that sound like? Church. It sounds like the local church. Isn't that beautiful? That we can be friends with each other in the local church. And I think it's fascinating that in the local church, people that don't have anything else in common can lock arms together and be close friends together because they have Jesus in common with each other. You know, people who are different ages, who have different life experiences, different cultural background. For one thing, Jesus is refining our character together, all of us, so that we have the ability to be better friends to each other. But we also are pursuing Jesus together. We have him in common. If we have him in common, that's all we need. It's a beautiful thing. Okay. So now let's talk about being a good friend. Being a friend, and some of these proverbs will repeat what we've already talked about a little bit. I want to talk about how we can be a good friend, or you know, what are the qualities of a good friend? Because we want to grow in being a better friend to our friends. Okay, and if you see there, I have these four categories of being a friend, and the first one is a good friend is there for you. A good friend is there. You see that in 17:17, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for a difficult time. So a friend is there for you even when the times are hard. So if we want to be a good friend, we need to stick by our friends even when times are hard. 18:24 is similar. One who has many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. So it's being there, staying closer. But then look at 17:18, and this is kind of a warning about being there. It says, because we need to be there for our friends in the right way. Okay? One without sense enters an agreement and puts up security for his friend. So, like, you know, like co-signing a loan for your friend. Sometimes your friends want you to do something like that. And what this is telling us, we need to have boundaries in our friendships, because sometimes they ask us to help in ways that aren't really helpful. Because if we, like, say, I co-sign a loan for a friend who really doesn't have the money to pay back that loan, I'm enabling that friend to do something that's not wise for that friend. And so we shouldn't enable our friends to do things that are not wise. And also, if he doesn't pay me back and I need that money, then I'm going to be mad at him, and then our friendship is going to fall apart. Okay? So we need to not enable unwise behavior in our friendships. We need to be there for them, but in a way that really is loving for them. And by the way, when it comes to, like, giving money to friends and family, Dave Ramsey, you know, the money guru guy, I don't know if I agree with everything he says about everything, but here's something that he said that I thought was really, really wise. He says, it's a good idea not to lend money to friends or family if the relationship is going to be damaged if they can't pay you back. Okay? So when you lend money to friends and family, you kind of got to, in your mind, consider that a gift, so that if they don't pay you back, things are still okay between you and them. Only lend them so much that you're okay if they don't. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of us have friends and family that get in trouble and they need help, and we want to help. But it's better to give a gift than to give a loan, is what I'm saying. And if you do call it a loan, in your mind it has to be a gift if it's friends and family, because you don't want the relationship to be hurt if they get in a jam and they can't pay you back. Okay, so a friend is there for you. Another idea, quality of a good friend is a friend gives good counsel, okay? Oil and incense, 27:9, oil and incense bring joy to the heart, and the sweetness of a friend is better than self-counsel. So you can counsel yourself, but a good friend gives another perspective, outside counsel, encouraging counsel. 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. So sometimes the counsel that the other person gives you sharpens you and challenges you. And we need that in our lives. I've got to tell you, like, I have a pastor friend of mine. We do not see eye to eye about a lot of different things. But after having breakfast with this guy, I feel so encouraged and so much sharper, because he challenges the way I think about some things. We can sharpen each other. So, and you need friends like that too, that'll sharpen you and challenge you. 27:6. We already talked about this one. The wounds of a friend are trustworthy, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive. If you're going to be a good friend to somebody, sometimes you need to challenge that person, but you need to do it in a way that's gracious. But you need to speak truth into their lives, God's truth into their lives, and you need your friends to do that for you. Okay, and that leads us to the next category, which is a good friend is tactful. Because, you know, if you're speaking truth into everybody's life around you, you can do that in a way that's really obnoxious. And maybe what you're saying is true, but you're not really helping that person, because they're going to blow you off because they're going to be so annoyed by all the truth that you're speaking into their life. A good friend is tactful. Look at this, 25:17. Seldom set foot into your neighbor's house, otherwise he'll get sick of you and hate you. You know? So sometimes friendship can be a little much. It can be too much. And it's better to back off a little bit and to be sensitive to other people's boundaries and respect them. There's a time and a place to speak truth into somebody's life, and you need to be careful that you do that. You want to speak truth into people's lives, but at the right time and the right place, right? And when they're receptive. If they're not receptive, you got to be open to that, or you might do more harm than good. 27:14. If one blesses his neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be accounted as a curse to him. So, like, you know, if somebody's still sleeping, if it's 5:30 in the morning, I know a lot of you get up at 5:30 in the morning, but if you came to my house at 5:30 in the morning, I would be asleep. If you try to speak an encouraging word to me and just really bless my heart at 5:30 in the morning, it is not a blessing to me. It's a curse. Okay? So don't do that. So you got to think of the right time and the right place to bless people. Okay? And then 26:18 to 19, like a madman who throws flaming darts and deadly arrows, so is the person who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. So it's possible to take a joke too far is the idea, because a lot of friends like to joke around with each other, but you can take a joke too far. And if you're really trying to harm people, don't say it was only a joke, or you just misunderstood what I was doing. You know, Proverbs has no patience for that kind of thing. That's not wisdom. You got to be straightforward about what your motivations are. Okay. So a friend is there. A friend gives good counsel. A friend is tactful. And the last category is a friend is gracious and trustworthy. Look at 16:28. A contrary person spreads conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. So what does that mean for us? Don't spread conflict. If you're going to be a good friend, don't spread conflict. If you're going to be a good friend, don't gossip about your friend. Okay? That hurts your friendships. Look at 17:9. Whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but whoever gossips about it separates friends. So we need to overlook offenses sometimes. Sometimes somebody hurts you, and it's better just to overlook it. Sometimes you need to address it with them, but the wrong thing is to gossip about it to somebody else. Go to the person and deal with it, or overlook it, but don't gossip about it, because that damages the relationship. And in 22:11, the one who loves a pure heart and gracious lips, the king is his friend. So the king wants to be friends with somebody who's sincere, somebody who's gracious in his speech. That's the kind of friend we need to be. Sincere friends, gracious friends. Learning how to be a better friend is a spiritual issue. When we grow in learning how to be a better friend, we're becoming more like Jesus, because he is the perfect friend. He's a good friend. Okay. So as you become more like Christ, as Jesus, as the Holy Spirit refines your character, one of the things that he's doing to you is helping you to be a better friend to your friends. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever thought about that? That the Holy Spirit is refining your heart so that you can be a better friend and have richer friendships, more meaningful friendships. Jesus is the perfect friend. Look at these categories. Isn't Jesus this way? Isn't he gracious and trustworthy? He always shows grace. He always speaks grace. He always tells the truth. He's trustworthy. Isn't Jesus tactful? Well, sometimes people were offended by Jesus, but that wasn't his problem. That was their problem. If you're offended by Jesus, that's your problem. It's not because he's not tactful. It's because you don't like what he says. Okay? So Jesus is tactful. Jesus gives good counsel. Jesus is there for us. He says he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always there for us, and he's coming again. So Jesus is the perfect friend, and as we become more and more like Jesus, we're going to be better friends. We're going to be able to be better friends with our friends. In general, the best quality friendships that we have are going to be in person, and they're going to be with people with whom we share the most important parts of our lives, the most important aspect of our life, the most important value to me, to you. What is the most important thing to you? It better be Jesus. And so the best quality friendships that you can have are with other people for whom that is also true. Other people who say Jesus is the most important thing to me. And when you have him in common, and when he's refining your character together, those friendships are deep and rich and beautiful. What does that sound like to you? Sunday school, the local church. It sounds like Calvary Chapel. It sounds like your small group, or it sounds like what we do after church when the piano's done playing and everybody just stays here talking to each other. Or it sounds like when you're going through your week and you get a call from somebody from church, or a text from somebody from church that, like, just checking on you, or I want to follow up with that thing that we were praying about, or, you know, whatever it is. It sounds like church. This is part of what God has made us for, is to grow in our friendships in our local church. So let's invest in these relationships. It's the richest, most meaningful thing that we can be part of. It's beautiful to be friends. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for these words, and in a way they're challenging because I think we get so busy that we don't prioritize friendship. But I pray that you'd help us to do that. And I pray that you would just work in our hearts and help us to grow in these things. And and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're our friend. And we pray in Jesus' name, we pray in his name. Let's stand as we sing. Amen.